I don't know about you, but it feels like a lot of my friends are now getting on that baby train. If you have a friend who is also expecting or have little ones still in diapers, I always recommend Pampers Swaddlers. With Pampers Swaddlers, you can also rest assured that this diaper will prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Swaddlers has dual leak guard barriers at the legs to help protect where leaks happen most, and they have a blowout barrier, which is an innovative back pocket built into the diaper to help prevent those messy leaks up the back. Did you know that on average, babies will use up to 8,000 plus diapers before becoming potty trained? That is a lot. That's why Pampers Diaper Stash is the hottest baby gift for 2024. So give a gift to a loved one that says, "We see you and we've got you." Pampers Diaper Stash is an online diaper fund that all parents with little ones will love. You can organize friends and family to contribute to a group gift of an online stockpile that never has to run out. Pampers Diaper Stash is great because it takes the guesswork out of choosing what size and how many diapers to gift. It's so easy to do, and it's the gift that always fits.
Welcome to ABG, Asian Boss Girl, a podcast for the modern day Asian American woman. I'm Janet.
I'm Helen.
And I'm Mel.
Why is verbalizing or expressing love to our parents so hard? Growing up, many of us did not use words of affirmation as a love language with them. This could be mostly due to our contrasting generational Asian upbringing or the difference in language. Regardless, there are so many unspoken words of love and gratitude we have not shared with them.
As kids, we saw our parents as the people who'd nag us, tell us to finish every grain of rice in our bowl, otherwise our future spouses would have a face full of acne, pack us lunch, walk us to school. However, as we got older, we started to see them more than just our mom and dad. We started to see them as humans. And we've come to understand the cross-cultural struggles that they've had to endure in order to truly provide the best for us, their children.
Today, we wanted to take some time to read a letter that we wrote to express our appreciation, love, and unspoken words to our mom and dad. And Janet will start us off.
Here we go. Dearest Mommy and Daddy, I love you, I love you, I love you, and I am so grateful for the life you have allowed me. Mommy, you were and are my first love. I am grateful that you carried me in your body, that you kept me safe and well, that you labored for me, that you sacrificed your own desires and well-being for me, not just for those first 9 months, but for all these years, especially those first 15. I remember how carefully and diligently you cared for me, how you meticulously washed my hair, moisturized my face with creams, and lotioned my body so that my skin would never become dry, always laid out my daily vitamin on a neatly folded napkin, how never-ending your focus on cleaning after me and the rest of our family was. I remember reflecting on all that you've done for me when I was a teenager and feeling overwhelmed with emotion that I would never be able to do you justice, that I can never mother to the level that you have. I want you to know that all of your work and your sacrifice is recognized, appreciated, and loved, and that even though it seems I get frustrated when you share your tips and suggestions, I hear every word and I have seen how you are almost always right. Because of you, I truly understand how important it is to actively take care of my health. From you, I've learned the importance of nutrition, exercise, and self-care. I think this has been one of my biggest life lessons. Daddy, you are my rock. I am like you in so many ways. I know I get many of my strengths from you and that we suffer from many of the same weaknesses. I hope you always keep in mind that many of these traits precede us. You have been my point of reference in many of my career pursuits. I am so lucky that you have provided opinion without force and endless, unfaltering support without which I would not have been able to pursue any of the things that I have. It's through you that I've confirmed some of my greatest lessons in my career and thus my place in society. To take chances, to be curious and think deeply, and to find meaning in the things that I do. You have always understood my anxiousness and restlessness and supported me in finding my peace just by being there, by sharing space with me, hours in the same room after dinners or on walks, even in silence. That the point of life is not to pursue happiness, but to serve a purpose and to derive meaning in that way is one of the biggest lessons you have taught me. You have also taught me that it is within my power to change my perspective and my way of thinking in order to change the way that I see life. I know that one of both of your greatest desires has been to protect me. And I want you to know that I don't wish to change anything about how I grew up or anything we have gone through as a family. Time and time again, I have seen how our challenges have resulted in me finding deeper meaning and purpose in my life. Through the deepening of our relationship, as well as a greater sense of empathy that allows me to connect with others more meaningfully. And that, I truly believe, is the key to a worthwhile and fulfilling life. It is through the both of you that I have learned the meaning of life, so much as I understand it, at least to this point, that it is to have a purpose, to love, and to be loved. And you have taught me all I know and how to do any of these things. Love always and forever. Qian Qian.
It's like, oh, Qian Qian.
P.S. Mommy, yes, I will fix my eyebrows and get them to be thinner so that I don't look so masculine in the face. If anyone out there has a Chinese mom, you understand the type of tips that she'll pick on, quote unquote. These are some of her quote unquote tips or suggestions.
Well, I will say that I like your eyebrows the way they look, Janet. I think they're nice. They're like full and like voluptuous eyebrows, but they look good.
Thank you. But yeah, but the point of that comment was kind of, it was a funny thing that happened this past weekend when I went to visit my parents. Mm-hmm. It's just a small example of those things that my mom would kind of nag at that I would roll my eyes and be like, Mom, you don't understand. It's like in fashion right now to have big eyebrows, right? Like, let me have this moment because I struggled through a lot of childhood with like bushy eyebrows and it being not a thing.
Yeah.
But of course I knew that she said that as a way of care, because she was like, you know, it will make your face look very like intense and you'll look like more masculine and angry. And like, why don't you just soften it a bit? You know, and it's all of that comes from a place of wanting me to be treated well or to have a good experience. Mm-hmm. So I understood where it comes from. But yeah, I had to throw it in there because, you know, those are all the little like back and forth examples that I referred to in my letter to her where I say, look, I know I might like get frustrated when you say those things, but I also know that they come from a place of love.
Yeah. What was your goal in writing this letter?
That is a really good question because I had different, like I was trying to kind of think through, I mean, just the ask of writing a letter to your parent is so like, whoa, that could go in so many directions, right? So initially I was like, maybe I should address things that we've like fought about or like, you know, and then like let them know how things have turned out or whatever. And then I thought about, well, the most like obvious thing is that we generally want to show them gratitude and thank them, right? Yeah. But I was like, how would a Chinese parent or how would they receive that? And I think the biggest thing of like what they see as a reward is for is to know that I've learned the things they wanted to teach me and that I have felt taken care of, if that makes sense.
No, that makes
sense. I wanted to bring out examples to them to be like, hey, for you to feel like, hey, you know you did a good job because these are the things that I took away or that, I don't know if that makes sense. So I guess it was more of a way to express gratitude through that.
Yeah. I actually found it, one, super cute that it's Qian Qian, your like Chinese nickname they call you.
Yeah.
At home.
Yeah.
I like how you describe the two different relations that you have with your mom and dad. Like, I know they're like they come together as our parents, but I think all three of us will say that we have different relationships with our mom and our dad.
Yeah.
And just to hear the difference, and even like the when you talked about like just walking in silence next to your dad, it felt like there's a sense of comfort. And like, I think that was really beautiful. And I can relate to that. Can you walk us through like the feelings you felt when you were writing all these things out?
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting that you point out that I did address them each individually because I went back and forth. Mm-hmm. And when I first started, actually, I wrote the ending first, actually, the last paragraph or the last two paragraphs. And then I went back and I was like, but to really like get into expressing the gratitude, I felt like I had to kind of do it one-on-one because my relationship with my parents, each of them, is very unique. I get different things from each of them. Mm-hmm. And I was closer to each parent at a different point in my life too. I think for me what I was feeling, I was with my mother because I was so close to her growing up, and through therapy I've learned the concept of how important your relationship with your mother is, because they really are your first experience of love, right? I know obviously I love her, but let me try to dissect where that comes from and where that, you know, and really it was like all of these memories of everything that I remember from when I was young. Like, I have memories of being so little and just like visuals of all of the ways in which she would care for me. And that particular instance of being in high school, and like, I remember when I couldn't sleep because I was just thinking so much about all that she has done. And I got really emotional because I was like, if I'm supposed to be able to do that or compare to that or like pay someone back for that, like, I can't. I don't know. It was like a strange kind of thing. So I felt, I don't know if I had, I just felt a great sense of like gratitude. It just seems so like oversimplified to say that.
It's kind of this feeling like overwhelming disbelief at this kind of like, you could kind of experience this kind of love. Because I think it's hard for us. We're not parents. I don't.
Yeah, it's okay.
How do I relate to that feeling of being a parent, giving that child a love yet?
You know? Yeah, yeah. Honestly, I think I don't know that I was feeling very much so much as I was focused on the goal of wanting to express to them that I am grateful without just those simple words.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. With details.
Yeah.
Are these details that you've shared with them before in passing?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I actually, I don't know that. I mean, to me, these are like the obvious things that I, like if anyone ever outside of our relationship asked me about them, these are the things that I would talk about. But yeah, I don't know that I've ever directly said to them, I remember you doing this or remember that time, you know?
Yeah. Well, it was a very beautiful letter. Yeah. And even for me, like listening to it, I was like, damn, if I were your like mom and dad, I would totally want to hear this. Mm-hmm. But I know it's also very uncomfortable to be sharing something so vulnerable like this with your parents.
Yeah.
Is this something that you would actually read to them one day?
I think so. That is, yeah, it's a good point to ask me if I had ever shared these things with them, because I don't think I have. I think the takeaway message of like being grateful, I think they know that. Mm-hmm. But I think in the exercise of this letter, I got specific about like why I'm grateful.
Yeah.
And I think I would like to share that with them in some format. Maybe just I'll play this episode for them. Cheating a little bit.
But I feel you on that.
Yeah. It always makes me curious. Like, I know in our interview we talked about like, why is it so difficult for us to express these feelings to our parents? Yeah. And I think it varies on the child. Like, do you think for you, Janet, is that it's hard for you to express these feelings because, is it because of your age and upbringing? Is it because maybe a language barrier? Like, what do you think the reason for you is?
Honestly, I almost think that if I did had to read this letter to them in person, I would cry. Mm-hmm. It's weird. Like, I wouldn't, in reading it to you guys, right, I'm like, oh yeah, these are obvious things. But for some reason, I think that if I said it to them, I think I would get emotional. And maybe it's the not wanting to confront the feelings part that means why I've never said these specific things to them directly.
Mm-hmm.
And we always just in our family, we say I love you a lot, right? But and that even was like kind of was more later in our life, because when I was growing up, like that's not in Chinese culture, you don't really say I love you, right?
Yeah.
But once I was in like high school, my sister and I kind of just learned from our friends, we brought that into our family and then they would reciprocate.
Yeah.
So we just always as a family constantly say I love you and constantly through our actions of me visiting, but we don't articulate like the specific memories or the specific reasons why.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's because I would cry and I don't want to.
I feel you on that. Did you find anything surprising during this process of writing the letter out? Like, were there things that you didn't think would come up when writing?
There's not much in terms of the specifics of the content, but I think maybe, like, when I thought about kind of the learning about the meaning of life through them, that being kind of my main takeaway, I didn't really take the time to reflect until now that I think that that is my current definition of the meaning of life, is to figure out or to find, like, whatever I said in the letter, I forgot now. But, yeah, I think arriving at that point, I haven't really sat down and properly journaled in like in a while. So to know that that was my takeaway and then to be able to tie it back to them, I think that was a little surprising.
Yeah. I mean, obviously our parents teach us so much, but we don't realize how much impacts us till like we're much older.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And because I think I ended both of my sections to my parents with what I like, one of the biggest lessons I've taken from them. And those are things that like swim around in my brain and I know, but I haven't really like articulated. And the moment I put that down, I realized, oh, this is actually a big part of who I am today.
Yeah.
And it makes sense. Right.
Yeah.
I think a little bit of it is also because they're always around. Right. So it's a little bit of like taking them for granted and what they've provided to us, because you're always swimming in it. It's just, it's there. Like that is who you are.
Yeah.
And so until you take the time to like sit down and write out in a very condensed format, you know, what it is that you're grateful for, then you can actually reflect and be like, oh, wow, you've made a huge impact on my life.
Well, thanks for sharing, Jana. I think your letter was, like, beautifully written, super well articulated. Like, the descriptive words you use, I'm, like, very...
I'd be like, damn, my daughter's smart.
I know. same. And I was like, But, yeah, you did really a great job expressing.
Thank you, ladies, for listening. And for your questions and this discussion after, it was really interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone can relate to this, but when I was a kid and I would get sick, my mom often told me to take lower doses of medications than what was recommended on the bottles at US pharmacies. She said that these doses were often based on research conducted on white men whose biology are completely different from my own. Asian Americans have unique health concerns. If we share our health information, it will help researchers address the health problems in our community. Research studies in the U.S. have rarely considered Asian American people, and it's well past time for that to change. The All of Us Research Program is the largest and most diverse health resource, and they want to gather health information from people of all walks of life for health and medical research. Why is it important for many people from the Asian American community to join the All of Us Research Program? Many of us share similar diets, environments, and lifestyles, and many of us have similar genes. All of Us researchers can use this information to find patterns in our health. This may show why people in our community may be more likely to get a disease than people from other communities. Our heritage is rich and our communities are strong. We need researchers to hear our stories. The more people who join, the more information researchers will have and the more they will learn. Ask your friends and family to join to make a difference at joinallofus.org/ABG.
This episode is sponsored by Skillshare. One thing I want to actively work on is finding inner peace. This is something I journal about every day, and it's definitely one of my focuses for the year. No matter what 2021 brings, you could spend it creating something meaningful with Skillshare's online classes, because time is what we make of it. Skillshare is an online learning community that offers membership with meaning. With so much to explore, real projects to create, and the support of fellow creatives, Skillshare empowers you to accomplish real growth. Being calm doesn't come easily for me, so when I saw that Skillshare offered classes within lifestyle to help with stress and finding solutions, I was so excited. The class that spoke to me was Erin Boyle's Everyday Minimalism, Finding Calm and Creativity in Living Simply. She teaches you on what to let go and what to let in. This practice has helped me tremendously in finding inner peace. With Skillshare, you can find inspiration in the moment and learn how to express your creativity. Skillshare is also incredibly affordable, especially when compared to pricey in-person classes and workshops. An annual subscription is less than $10 a month. Bring color and beauty and fun to your year. Explore your creativity at skillshare.com/ABG and get a free trial of premium membership. Again, that's skillshare.com/ABG.
This past year, I've been switching over to vegan and cruelty-free makeup products, and one of the best high-performance vegan and 100% cruelty-free mascaras I've found is Thrive Cosmetics Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara. It mimics the look of lash extensions with a firm-hold tubing formula that slides off with warm water and a washcloth. I love that you can get a really dramatic look with this formula, but that it's made with clean, nourishing ingredients. Pair this with their Brilliant Eye Brightener, which is a cream-to-powder highlighter stick, add a little blush, and bam! That's my go-to instant everyday glam. Not only are their products effective, beautiful, vegan, and cruelty-free, they also meet clean beauty standards by omitting toxic ingredients. Even more, the company has a bigger-than-beauty mission where for every product purchase, they donate to help women thrive. Women emerging from homelessness, surviving domestic abuse, fighting cancer, and more. I'm a big fan of this brand, and if you're interested in checking them out too, visit thrivecosmetics.com/ABG for 15% off your first order. This is an exclusive offer you can only get here. That's Thrive, C-A-U-S-E, medics.com/ABG for 15% off your first order. thrivecosmetics.com/ABG.
I don't know about you, but it feels like a lot of my friends are now getting on that baby train. If you have a friend who is also expecting or have little ones still in diapers, I always recommend Pampers Swaddlers. With Pampers Swaddlers, you can also rest assured that this diaper will prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Swaddlers has dual leak guard barriers at the legs to help protect where leaks happen most. And they have a blowout barrier, which is an innovative back pocket built into the diaper to help prevent those messy leaks up the back. Did you know that on average, babies will use up to 8,000 plus diapers before becoming potty trained? That is a lot. That's why Pampers Diaper Stash is the hottest baby gift for 2024. So give a gift to a loved one that says, "We see you and we've got you." Pampers Diaper Stash is an online diaper fund that all parents with little ones will love. You can organize friends and family to contribute to a group gift of an online stockpile that never has to run out. Pampers Diaper Stash is great because it takes the guesswork out of choosing what size and how many diapers to gift. It's so easy to do, and it's the gift that always fits.
All right. So now we're going to have Helen share her letter.
Oh, God. Okay. Oh, man. Okay. Shall we?
We shall.
Oh! This is Helen hates sharing her feelings.
Here we go. Okay. Dear Mom and Dad, it's me, Amoy. I know our whole lives, our love has always been shown through food and going out of our way to do things for each other. And only in the past few years, ever since I've moved to LA, did we finally start saying I love you over the phone. So this feels so uncomfortable for me to write, but I guess I'm kind of glad that I'm writing it too. First off, a walk down memory lane. I want to mention our 81 apartment. On my podcast and in our speaking events, I always talk about how loving our home was and how awesome it was to have all of our family members living in that one apartment building. Our building was always filled with the sounds of Hoi San Hua and the smells of Chinese soup and low-burning incense. And during Chinese New Year, all of our doors would be open with the loud sounds of Chinese music flowing through the building. Pride. It was the beginnings of my pride for being Chinese American and my immense love for our culture and our traditions. I want to also say thank you for showing me what love and care looks like in a home. Love that is truly unconditional and love that is extremely selfless. I've never expressed this to you before, but the older I get and the more stories I hear about family dynamics, the more I recognize how difficult it is to maintain peace in a home. And not just peace for peace's sake, but pure peace and pure love. I've only heard you two fight, like really fight, maybe once in my life. And having been in multiple relationships myself, I know that level of restraint in order to raise me and Annie in a safe space, in a foreign land, mustn't have been easy. So know that I recognize the level of work you've put into making our home feel like a home I always want to return back to. Mom, I'll never forget the story you tell about coming to America by yourself when you were only 21, getting off the plane, not knowing where to exit to find Dad, not knowing how to ask for help, just standing there, crying. You were still so young. I know you must have been so scared. And not having any of your own family or friends here, Mom, you are the bravest person I know. And you work so hard. You've worked so hard your whole life. I see how thankful Ray and Annie are to have you, how much care you put into raising Tyler and Riley. Every day you're helping them vacuum, mop. You make juk with not water, both boiled chicken broth so the kids can have nutrients. You squeeze fresh orange juice for them. You potty train them at 2. From you, Mom, I get my hardworking, go-getter attitude and the softer, nurturing, and compassionate sides too. You set my bar for always giving unconditional love to people I care about. That all comes from you. And Papi, which is what I call my dad, I remember when I was around 5, going up to you and asking if you were okay because you had quit smoking cold turkey. You were a chain smoker ever since you were 13. Your old photos from China always looked like you were up to no good, the bad boy. And even as you are now, you have this ever-present Dilo, which is Big Brother, energy about you. And I remember you saying you were fine. But as an adult, I know that cutting out smoking cold turkey couldn't have been easy. And I know you did it for me and Annie. So thank you for that. And being the eldest of 4, Dad, I know you hold a lot of pressure to keep it together for the family. You've always been a rock for those around you your whole life. For me, Annie, Mom, your sisters and brothers, you didn't even cry at Yaya or Saiguche's funerals. In my 33 years of age, I've never met anyone who is so unwavering in their strength and how they can keep it together. You have such a perfect mix of calm energy and an assuredness, one that commands respect as you do, like an acquired discipline that's required deep awareness of yourself and your surroundings. But then you're also unique in that you're able to let loose and become the life of our family gatherings. I definitely get my instigator passing around the Hennessy vibes from you, and I get my looks from you too. Anyway, I asked Annie what else I should write in here, and she said, talk about why you were such a bad kid. And the moment that changed for you, because Mom doesn't know this moment. So I'll start off by saying, I'm sorry I was such a terrible kid growing up. I still don't fully understand why, but I think a lot of it came from my own insecurities, a lack of confidence, balancing a desire to be a good daughter, but every time I fell short of my own standards, I turned to anger. Skipping school, getting caught stealing, almost getting expelled from school, and I was going down a very bad path with very bad people. And the moment that all changed for me, I believe, was in 8th grade. It was late at night. I think I got up to use our bathroom and the kitchen door was shut, but open just so I could peep in. And I saw you, Mom, kneeling there in the dark, bowing to Gunyim Nangnang and the 3 star gods, the porcelain deities, and you were praying. And it was dark, late at night. But I remember seeing you praying and hearing through your tears, asking, for a better daughter. And it was in that moment, that very moment, that I decided that I needed to turn my life around. I felt so much guilt, which was a feeling I didn't fully understand in my teenage years, until I saw you praying for a better daughter. So Mom, I know you're probably going to try and recall and think about this moment forever now, but I want you to know that that moment changed my life, and thank you. Thank you both for providing me the best childhood I could have ever asked for, and most of all, thank you for showing me how to one day become the type of mom I want to be for my future kids. I always go back to this lesson from my childhood that abundance isn't always key, but the love and peace in a home is. And that's something I live by and want to emulate with my family one day. Thank you for being my role models, my teachers, my rocks, and the best parents I feel so undeserving to have. I hope I've done enough as a daughter to make you both proud. I love you both so, so much, and I promise to make soup or lang cha today, because I know that will also make you happy. Love, Amoy.
Aww.
Woo! Oh, that was hard.
No, I feel like I just kind of like read a chapter from the Dorla Club, reading your letter, because I think that like I like the touches of the Asian culture and like the little experiences that you went through like as a child, and then it just played out in my head. So I think you did a really good job expressing and painting a story for our listeners and Janet and I.
Thank you.
I feel like there were definitely many moments in the letter where I understood you better as an individual. And I also love that you took this opportunity to share something with your mom that you haven't before.
Mm. Woo! Holding back the tears, y'all. Holding back the tears.
I'm still processing your letter because it was so nicely written. I mean, Janet and I both met your parents, and I think you expressing words, like, it makes sense the way you are, because I think you do come from such a loving family, and like being around them is just like, it feels, you feel it. I can't describe it, but even going over to the dinner for Chinese New Year, you see how full and happy your house is. And I'm just like, this is what Helen's always talking about when she wants her family to feel that, like feel this type of fullness in her house and excitement. Mm-hmm. So I felt that.
Thank you.
Yeah. I think, I mean, to the point of, or in the letter, when you started describing, there was a point where you said pride, and right before that was when you kind of started going into the details of your culture.
Yeah.
And I really appreciated that part, because I think that that is such a big part of who you are. Mm-hmm. And I know that for them to hear that you know all those details, and that those are details that like remain with you. Yeah, I don't know. That was really, really beautiful.
Yeah.
For you, what was your goal when you were writing this letter?
Oof. Well, I think the last time I wrote a letter to my parents was probably in like preschool. It was like when you write like a Mother's Day card or a Father's Day card to them, right? Yeah. But I think my main point of writing this is because we have shown love in our family in ways where it's like through food or helping each other to do things, lots of just like acts of service. And I think words hold such a powerful meaning. And with us, similar to you too, Janet, like only within the past few years or so did we just start saying I love you to each other. Mm-hmm. And I think me and Annie brought that into our family too, yeah. You know. And not going to lie, I mean, I am a product of discomfort of talking about feelings and showing emotion mm-hmm. in an Asian household. And I carry that into my life and my relationships as well. So expressing emotions does not come easy for me. But I really do love my parents. And I think as uncomfortable as it is, it's a very cathartic feeling to have written this letter out.
What were you feeling when you wrote it out? Like, were you crying when you were actually writing this letter? Or
I was definitely crying. I was tearing up, blowing my snot as I typed. And even though, kind of like what you were saying, Janet, like, you know everything that's going on in this letter, but I think putting it down into words makes you feel this immense gratitude, like immense gratitude for them. And like I said in my letter, I think as an adult now, I know how difficult relationships with significant others are, and I know how difficult it is not to fight sometimes, especially if you're both, you know, opinionated or not like pushover type people. And as an adult, I just appreciate so much of the peace that we had in our home, and I wanted to make sure that that came across in my letter, mm-hmm. that, you know, they faced the odds of moving to a foreign country, working menial jobs to build a life for us here, living with in-laws in a tiny apartment, yeah. And even being so scared to leave the house because we look different compared to a lot of people in our neighborhood. So, and having to raise like American-born children here, like none of that could have been easy. And they were so young too. They were 21 when they moved over here. So I just felt very thankful for them while writing this. And yeah, like recently my mom called me and she was just like crying, and it's like very rare for her to like call me in the middle of the night crying. And I was like, oh, what's going on? And she was saying that she felt very like sorry that she didn't take us out like when we were kids, because she was too scared to go outside. Like my dad was always working, so she was kind of like just staying at home taking care of us. And she was like, I guess she sees Tyler and Riley now, you know, and how they're always interacting with kids at the playground and like they're building this like social life, I guess, as 2 or 3 year olds.
Yeah.
But like my mom never really gave that to us because she was too afraid to leave the house. So she just said like, sorry that, you know, that I didn't give you that life. And I was like, mom, I don't, like, I'm good, you know, like I'm not social, I'm like socially adept. Yeah, like none of that like mattered, and you did it, you did the best that you could, and that's what I wanted to share the message of too.
Yeah, I did really enjoy in the letter also when you talked about specifically the peace in the home over, and because that's just like a running theme that I've seen you start to develop in how you're reflecting on your life. Because, you know, we've gone to speaking events, we've done these things together for like a year, 2, 3 years now.
Yeah.
And I can see how in the writing of your letter, like you're saying, even though the facts or whatever are things that you've known, you're synthesizing, you're coming to conclusions. Like the fact that you're like, I now, to share with them, being in a relationship and you understand how hard it was for them to give you what they gave you, that to me is really, really powerful as a parent to hear. Do you think you'll ever share this letter with them?
Oof. I mean, Annie was telling me yesterday, she's like, you know, mom listens to all your stuff and watches all your YouTube videos, right? So hi, mom.
Hi, Mrs. Wu.
I don't think I would ever read this to them. I'd probably play this episode for them.
Yeah.
Or just like send it to them over WeChat or something. I don't know. That's probably how I would share this letter with them. Hello.
Yeah. Oof. I feel like your mom would definitely like be very touched if you.
I think so.
Yeah,
I think your dad too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Was there anything surprising for you when you're throughout this process of writing the letter?
Yeah, I think that I am a true blend of my parents. I think despite, you know, not having a lot growing up and growing up with very little confidence in myself, fear of public speaking, always overthinking everything, I think I was always very assured. Like I never had a real fear that I would fail in life. And for some reason, I've always known ever since I was a kid that I'd be okay. And I think that comes from my dad. That mixture of like calm and stability and the quiet power that he has, and assuredness that is like super just unwavering. He's always been consistent, constant, like my whole life, you know?
Yeah.
And from my mom, I get from her a hardworking attitude and a need for unconditional love in my relationships, being, you know, extra nurturing and compassionate to people around me. So I think from the two of them, I get the strength and tenacity of a leader and the compassion of a strong woman. And I think those feelings have always been innate within me ever since I was a kid. And being able to summarize that is something that did surprise me as I was writing this out, that I am totally just, you know, a summation of the two of them.
Yeah.
I love that this exercise made you dig so deeply into reflecting on them as individuals and then in how that relates to you as an individual.
Yeah.
That's really, because I was like, if there's one summary for or one takeaway from that letter, I'm like, I get a strong sense of Helen.
Yeah. And I think when you're describing both parents, it's because like, I think me and Janet could experience you as a friend. So like, I'm like, now when you're describing each parent, I was like, oh, that's exactly where she gets it from. Because like, I think as a friend, you're very, I've never seen you like, well, I never seen you blow up or like literally lose your cool. Like in a sense, like you're very level headed, like your dad, like calm and collective, but you get shit done. Like I think if she hits a fan, you're not like, oh my God, like that's me. But like, with you, you're just like, all right, what's next? What can we do right now? And then with your mom, like there's very like a, you're very loving and nurturing. And I see the way you interact with your mom. I know you get it from your mom. Because like, even when your mom talks to us, it's very sweet. And like I also really appreciate like your relationship with your family, because family is really important to you, because you literally call them every single day, twice a day. And I think a lot of people who are listening actually may not know that, but we're with Helen almost, I don't say 24/7, but like 24/7. So we see how much effort your family puts in with you, but also you give back to them. So I could see why this letter could be very emotional and but cathartic at the same time, because they are number one in your life.
Yeah, yeah. And these things, like I was asking you, Janet, like I've never said these things to them before. Yeah. So I think it's things that I've always felt, but I've never really shared them. I might say like, oh, thank you for this, but never into like full detail of why I'm thanking you for this, you know?
Yeah.
So I think this will be hopefully good for them, to read and listen to. Yeah. Mom, don't get too emotional. I know you will.
We're expecting the screenshot of the WeChat message.
Oh, gosh. All right. Well, thank you, ladies, for listening and debriefing and forcing me to write this letter.
You know, we like to say we're our therapy session.
It does feel like it.
Y'all know I consider myself a foodie, and one type of meal I've been missing is barbecue. Growing up, I did eat a lot of Chinese food. My parents knew how to throw down with their grilling and amazing meat recipes. There's just something about the experience of eating meat fresh off the grill and in the outdoors. But not everyone has access to high-quality meats. I remember the ladies and I were trying to grill something, and we had to go to so many grocery stores just to find the right cut of meat. Luckily, today's sponsor, ButcherBox, believes everyone deserves access to high-quality, humanely sourced meat. Every month, ButcherBox ships a curated box of high-quality meat right to my home. As much as I'm a foodie, I also like to leave my couch, so this makes grocery shopping so easy. Each box has 9 to 11 pounds of meat, enough for 24 individual meals. And when you set up now, you get a free barbecue bundle in your first box. 2 New York strip steaks, 6 burgers, and 5 pounds of drumsticks, all for free in your first box. This is literally the perfect barbecue kit. Again, for a limited time, ButcherBox is offering new members a free barbecue bundle in their first box. That's 2 New York strip steaks, 6 burgers, and 5 pounds of drumsticks, all for free in your first box. Just go to butcherbox.com/ABG. That's butcherbox.com/ABG to get a free barbecue bundle in your first box.
While TV has been a saving grace for many of us, I'm sure by now that a lot of you feel like you're caught up on every single show imaginable. If you're tired of scrolling through the same movies and the same shows, then check out Acorn TV, the largest commercial-free British streaming service with hundreds of exclusive shows from all around the world, including award-winning mysteries, dramas, comedies, and so much more. Personally, I'm a big fan of murder mysteries, so if you're like me and you feel like you've already seen every single rerun of Law & Order, check out Midsummer Murders on Acorn TV. It's a deliciously sinister series about the homicide, blackmail, greed, and betrayal that go on behind the well-trimmed hedges of Midsummer County, but the culprits are no match for the DCI and his assistants. I like that the series on Acorn TV are cleverly written, visually striking, and that I'm able to watch on my TV, my laptop, or my phone. If you're ready for a streaming service that offers new stories, new characters, and breathtaking sceneries every week, do what I did and get Acorn TV. Try Acorn TV free for 30 days by going to acorn.tv and use our promo code ABG. Make sure to enter the code in all lowercase letters. That's ACORN.TV code ABG to get your first 30 days for free.
Maintaining balance. Definitely something that is easier said than done. Lately, balancing my personal life with ABG has been more difficult. When I don't balance my life well, I start to feel overwhelmed. For moments like this, I know I can turn to BetterHelp for an unbiased opinion and someone to vent to. BetterHelp is a professional counseling service available for our listeners worldwide and would highly encourage it. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today and is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches. I really enjoy my sessions with my counselor and appreciate how she affirms my feelings. She shares different tangible ways to help combat stress, and I just feel so much better after my sessions. I typically do monthly video calls with her, but we message in between in case something comes up. So whether you work better with phone, video calls, or messaging, BetterHelp has options for you. It's also more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and ABG listeners can get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/ABG10. That's Better, H-E-L-P, and join over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. Again, you can try it out at betterhelp.com/ABG10.
All right, Miss Mel Mel, your turn. Grab the napkin, baby. Grab the napkin.
Shoot. I already know I'm gonna cry. So you're already feeling it. So I guess to give you guys context, like I wrote my letter earlier today, and it's not as like, I just literally was like, I'm gonna just like vomit words, and it's not as like beautifully written. I just think someone's kind of feeling. Mm-hmm. And I called my mom afterwards just to talk to her, but... Mm-hmm. Forgive me for all the breaks that are going to happen, because I'm going to cry. Let's try this. Dear Mom and Bubba, it's so weird to be addressing this letter to you both since we don't really talk like this, but for this letter, I thought I addressed each parent differently. So, Mom, when I hear the word parent, I think of you instantly. It's no surprise in our family that you are head of household. You've always been the extrovert of the parent duo and made an active choice to be involved in both my life and Brandon's. I understand how special we are as kids to have you as a mom. All our friends love you too because you're always so welcoming to everyone. Whenever we went grocery shopping, you'd always make sure there was extra food for Brandon's friends. So when they come over, they would always have snacks. Mom, I'm so happy to see you truly enjoy life now. I remember as a kid, you were that mom that would pay full price for clothing or anything you wanted for Brandon and I, and you always buy everything at discount for yourself. I know you enjoy saving money and whatnot, but I want you to know that you deserve all the things that you want. Mom, my connection with you is so special for so many reasons. Besides being your firstborn, I truly feel like I am my mother's daughter. Not just because everyone tells me how similar we look or how we are, but you've been through a lot as my mom. You left a marriage you weren't happy in with a man that failed to support you as a husband and left you with most of the responsibility of raising me. I can't imagine being a working single mom and financially supporting both of us. This just reminds me of what you said to me in my high school graduation party. You said, I want people to see that I was able to do, in essence, raise you well on my own. Mom, you did. I feel like with everything I do with the thought of making you proud. I see how happy and excited you get whenever I talk to you about ABG. It makes me so happy that we could share this excitement together. The last thing I really want you to know is that I never felt like I ever was missing love from our family. If anything, I felt so full of love from everyone, from Ama Akong, from Jojo, and everyone else. I also feel very fortunate that you found love again with Baba and were able to be in such a loving relationship. The fact that you found someone who accepted you and me both, I feel extremely lucky. Again, I never felt like I came from a broken family. If anything, I always felt whole growing up and think that whoever marries me is also very lucky to have our family as in-laws. To Baba, or to Bubba, we call him. We say Bubba. To Bubba, you're someone that I really learned to appreciate as I get older. I remember as a kid, I used to think you were so quiet and antisocial compared to how extroverted mom is. But as an adult, at large gatherings, I find myself sitting next to you to feel calm in these social settings. I'll always remember at Brandon's graduation, I was feeling overwhelmed with all the social stuff going on. I snuck away into one of the bedrooms and found you reading your book. We both ended up just reading our books and enjoying that small moment of quiet, which I really appreciate. Reflecting back on my childhood, thank you for stepping in and being a father to me. When I think of dad or father, you're instantly the person I think of. The biggest thing I want to say to you is thank you. You know, when you married my mom, I feel like I was able to get that traditional nuclear family, and you really love me as your own. I don't ever feel like a stepchild. That word alone feels unfamiliar to me, and you've always been my dad. I remember when you and mom got married, you also gave me a ring, so I felt like a promise of commitment was also made to me. And throughout the years, you stayed true and been an incredible parent. You may not be as loud and as forward as mom, but it's your silent strength and unbreakable love that I so appreciate and recognize. Thank you for always being the first person to say I love you when we hang up on the phone. I truly do love you. The last thing I want to say to both of you is that you set such a great example for Brandon and I. I love how affectionate you guys are with each other and continue to hold hands at the grocery store when you're walking. I feel like I'm able to witness what it's like to be in a loving relationship. And overall, I feel so full of love being your daughter, and thank you for raising me to be the person I am. I love you both so much. Love, Mel. Aww.
That's it. Mel. That was so beautiful.
I didn't cry as much as I thought.
I heard your voice shake, though.
Yeah.
You're holding back.
It was too much. Yeah. I honestly cried a lot writing it this morning. Like, I had I had four tissues, snot, jelly snot for sure.
Yeah. I love because we know your mom very well. Like, we've seen her at all the events, and she's like so incredibly like bubbly and supportive and just like a huge fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's amazing. She's so like generous. Every time we go over, she makes amazing food, and she's just like, I feel like her kid. I'm like, oh, I feel like I'm back home in San Francisco though. Like, hi, my new mom. Like, thank you for cooking for me. And I think hearing the parts about your dad too, because he is a little bit more reserved and hearing like the moments that you've had with them and also the promise ring, like that is so beautiful. Yeah. Like, that made me, like, whimper a little, because that's such a thoughtful thing for him to have done.
Yeah, it's hard, because I think, even as a kid, like, I was like, man, like, because I'm like my mom, like, bubbly, outgoing at social settings. My dad was, like, quiet. I'm like, ugh, why don't you ever, like, why don't you interact like mom? But then I think as I get older, I appreciate how, like, it's just, like, the silent strength, and, like, I can only imagine, too, like, I think very in a traditional, like, Chinese or Taiwanese like values, it's kind of rare to like marry someone who's divorced and has a kid. So I think for him, I'm just like, I understand the pressure you might have felt maybe, and like you took me in as your own, like I don't ever feel like he favors my brother over me whatsoever. And like, he, I remember him, he used to pick me up from preschool when my mom and him were dating, like things like that. So I think I very feel much loved from my dad, my stepdad. Yeah. It's just weird to call him my stepdad. He doesn't feel like that.
Have you ever had this conversation with him before, or like shared your thoughts on?
It's hard to express my feelings with my dad because it's a language thing. Like we communicate mostly in Mandarin, and my mom and I just speak in like, we go off in English, but it just, the only thing we say is like, I call him like happy birthday and I ask him like what he's eating. And like I say, we do say I love you, but to share how I feel, it's something I don't really do with my dad.
Like, have you guys ever talked about the promise ring after it happened? Does he know that you remember that?
No, I don't think so. Part of me is like, does he remember that? I don't know. Maybe it's something I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds like you also have just a very good balance too in the home, where it's like when everything is chaotic and like too on the extreme end, you're like, I'm going to retreat into my dad's room. Yeah. Like, hey, dad, I'm just going to chill with you here.
Yeah. And it's like crazy because like, I will say it's something I really, truly appreciate now. Like before I didn't understand, but like, my dad is someone that like could do the same thing every day and be happy. Like what he does for fun is to come home and read his kung fu novels from like for 4 hours. I was like, oh, like at first I was like, isn't that boring? But there's something really like calming about it. It's like meditative for some reason for me. And I really like, it's like the balance. Like I appreciate and I see how he balances out my mom. And I'm like, maybe that's something I also need in my partner. But he's like very loving to my mom. And so I'm like, oh, this is like a really good marriage because I can see they really truly love each other still. And like my mom pretty much said, like, I can't do anything without your dad. Like without. Aww. So yeah, it's really interesting to reflect back and just see it now as an adult.
So you also use the format of writing to each of them separately. Mm-hmm. What was the thinking behind that?
I really do have clear, different relationships with both of them. And not just because like my mom married my dad, it's because, or my stepdad, it's just because in my household, my brother and I both have a very close knit relationship with my mom, and we're a little bit more like, we love our dad, but it's a different dynamic. So I think with two different types of relationships, like similar to you, like you both, it's like, I want to address each differently. Yeah. And I think for my mom, it's like, I'm very expressive with my mom. Like she'll message me long paragraphs. I share how I feel like now, but then I never acknowledge like the stuff she went through, like as a divorced person. Mm-hmm. Like it's hard. Like I was only like 3 years old when they divorced. Mm-hmm. And so imagine having a toddler and like being a working mom. And I know like it's just a lot of work. And financially, she was supporting the whole family and me. So I wanted to tell my mom, like, I acknowledge the work you put in with me, like specifically with me, because it's a different relation to Brandon. Brandon grew up having two parents in the household, all this stuff. But I mean, I had a period when my grandparents came in and helped take care of me. That's why I'm so close with them. But my mom did a lot of the work. So I want to just acknowledge her. Like, I appreciate the work you put in because I don't forget about that, even though like I'm older now. But yeah.
What do you think was the main goal when you were writing this letter?
I think for me, I kind of really, like, one, I wanted to share how I feel about both parents, but I actually really wanted to, like, express how I feel about my stepdad. Because I feel he's really underappreciated in my household, or maybe to me, or I don't talk about him a lot, like, on Instagram, or everyone knows about my mom, but, like, no one knows about my dad. And I feel like, man, like, I think in some ways, like, I am the product of their marriage because my mom's able to be happy and in love and be able to be a good parent because she has the support of my dad. And my dad has, like, been very, like, that calmness I really appreciate now. Yeah. So I wanted to express that to him and let people know, like, I have a strong father figure in my life that I don't feel like I'm missing anything. And I, you know what it is, too? It's, like, maybe a deeper goal is that I know I have friends and, you know, in media talk about divorced parents and, quote-unquote, broken families. But I really truly believe just because you come from a divorced parent, we don't come from a broken family. Mm-hmm. You can feel very full and have that nuclear experience still. So I just wanted to express that with the letter.
I definitely got that sense from your letter.
Yeah.
Me too.
What were you feeling when you wrote the letter? You shared that you were able to hold back tears now because you were pretty much sobbing during the writing.
Yeah. Just immense amount of gratitude. I think as we get older, it's like we know our parents as parents our whole life, but to see they were people. They're also people feeling emotions, going through things. But as kids, you never like, oh, it's just my mom or like it's my dad. But I felt a lot of more emotional connection because nowadays when I like read Joy Luck Club or watch movies about talking about like older Asian families, I cry because I'm like, damn, there's so much struggle that I just don't know about. But but then our families also have been through struggles. So just to put myself in their shoes, I think I pretty much like had a gallon of tears or like snot. Yeah, and I was like, all right.
So you were, for you, the emotion came from like putting, like you were kind of putting yourself mentally as them and like thinking of what they must have been feeling or what they experienced.
Yeah.
And that's what caused the emotional kind of, or the response.
Yeah, a combination of that and also just a lot of gratitude.
Yeah. Would you ever read this letter to your parents?
I don't know. Like, I think with my mom, I got into a place where I probably, like, I sobbed to her once, and I was like, okay, I think we kind of crossed that boat. My dad, I don't know how I would, maybe when I'm older, and I have more private times with him. So I feel like I do a lot of my one-on-ones with my mom, but I mean, it'd be great if I can one day. Like, I think I would want to.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know if I'm ready right now, though, actually. But I want to.
Well, your mom listens, doesn't she?
She actually doesn't, because I tell her not to listen.
Oh, okay.
Really?
Sometimes, yeah. Oh. I'm like, don't listen.
Would you want to just send this over to them?
I think I might send this episode over. Like, if you and Bubba want to listen, but that's it. awkward emotions.
I feel like we're all like on the same boat here with that. It's just like, yeah, if they listen to it, they listen to it.
Yeah, yeah. I feel you.
Was there anything surprising for you during this process?
Yes and no. Like, I have always known that, like, I'm very close to my mom's side of family, and I've always, like, in some lessons, like, I have, like, only one set of grandparents that I was really close with, but I think it really put into perspective, like, how loving my mom's side of the family is. Like, they're very close with each other. We travel together, and, like, I remember growing up, and, like, as a kid, everyone would come over to my house for dinner. Like, if they were flying in from Taiwan, they always stayed at my house. So, like, in some essence, like, I was like, oh, why do I feel so loved? Is because I did have a really loving family that, despite being my parents are divorced, that I never felt empty of it. But it's because of my family, though. And that's something I don't ever forget. So it just put into perspective, like, oh, this is why I am the way that I am. And this is why I feel so full. It's because of my mom and my family.
Thank you for sharing, Mel.
Thank you for asking the questions and allowing me to reflect.
Well, listeners, thank you for joining us today as we read our letters to our parents. We hope this is an exercise that some of you out there might try and either find cathartic, or that it helps you learn something about your feelings towards your parents. And we would encourage that you also share your letter with your parents. Maybe not today, maybe it's in a couple of years, but yeah, this is a great exercise, not only for your own emotions, but I think someday for your parents to have as well.
If you don't already, please follow us on Spotify, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating and review, and share this episode with your friends. You can also support us through monthly donations at anchor.fm/AsianBossGirl/support or get some merch at AsianBossGirl.myshopify.com.
If you resonate with today's episode, let us know in the comments of our IG post. If you'd like to put faces to our names, you can find us on YouTube where we share vlogs, an audience Q&A segment called GRBG, and much more. Our handle on both platforms is AsianBossGirl.
We have a couple of shout-outs for today's episode. Some belated birthdays from Ozzy to Carrie in Sydney, Australia, whose birthday was on April 30th, wishing a big happy birthday to the baddest Asian boss lady in the Southern Hemisphere. I know you will kill it in your job interviews. From Sam to Marlene in Boston, whose birthday was on May 7th, happy birthday to the youngest baby Marlene Choi from your oldest Aya, sis. So proud of who you've grown up to be and are becoming. From Angela to Ruhan in London, happy 29th birthday to the sister I've never had. Keep slaying like the Asian boss girl that you are. And from Crystal to Amber in San Francisco, happy birthday to my bestie and future Dr. Duong. You're going to kill it in the exciting year ahead. We also have a shout out from Kem to Dareth in Connecticut. Happy 6 months. Thank you for loving me for me. And from Emma to Jonathan in New Zealand. Hi, Woofie. You've been the most supportive from day one. Thank you for being you and never lose that smile. I love you. And last but not least, one more birthday shout out from Michelle to Gloria in New York. Happy birthday, Gloria. I believe in you. You will do great in your remaining time in nursing school. You got this. If you'd like to send a shout out to a friend, check out our link tree and our link in bio and click on shout outs.
And last but not least, thank you to our super talented editor, Michelle, for working all her magic on our episodes, including this one. We'll catch you all on the next episode.
Bye.